Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Ashley Leonard. He's the CEO of Verismic. They are a company that creates software solutions for energy management, especially in the PC space. And we're going to talk a little bit about energy management at the micro level, but in the single user and the groups and to facility sizes, because there are a lot of issues both above and below on the food chain that really pertain to energy management, especially in a larger system. Isn't that right, Ashley? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Alex. Yeah, absolutely. Verismic is, as you stated, a company that produces software for managing power consumption for medium to large companies actually around the world.
Now, see, and that's the thing, is it. For a small facility, it's not as much of an issue, but it is. For a big facility, it is, of course, a huge issue, and they've got staffs and often entire departments focused exclusively on that. But, you know, in that large, small to big, middle-sized company, there aren't that many solutions available, yet it's just as pressing a need for them as it is for the large companies.
Yeah, that's a really great question, Alex. So, typically... Historically, PC power management has been a technology that's been utilized by medium to large organizations because generally the more computers you have, the more value you're going to get from this type of technology. However, the cloud's actually changing things, Alex. We actually, about two, maybe three years ago, rolled out actually a cloud edition of our technology to allow customers with small to medium number of endpoints to be able to benefit from this type of technology, because being a cloud-based technology, there's obviously a lot of savings in infrastructure costs and management and maintenance costs, because you can just go to a web browser, sign up, and download a client onto your workstations and be able to save money almost immediately with this type of technology without needing to deploy the heavy amounts of infrastructure that are needed with premise type versions.
If I may jump in there, Ashley, so what you're really saying is your cloud-based solution is actually leaping outside of the box, as it were. It's not a facility-based solution. It's a group-based solution.
Yeah, absolutely. The technology could be deployed at particular locations. So if you've got multi-location organization, maybe one specific location might want to use it, or even one group within a location could potentially use it as well. We've seen customers as low as maybe 12 endpoints, 12 computers, actually utilize our cloud technology. And we scale up from there, obviously, to many, many thousands, tens of thousands of desktops.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this is a content-agnostic technology. It's not like it only can apply to industrial spaces. A school could use it, for example, within its student body, right?
Absolutely. In fact, schools are some of the biggest beneficiaries, actually, of this type of technology, because schools, you know, have defined work times, right? You know, the school time might start at 9 in the morning and be done by 3. Well, what's happening to those computer systems when school time's over? There's a lot of power being consumed on those systems, and unfortunately today our school systems, many of them are underfunded, so we've got older technologies which are deployed in schools. So having power management on those devices is actually going to help shut those computers down when they're not being used, and in many cases give some of the best power savings that we've seen because of the older hardware that's deployed at those schools.
Well, now, Ashley, what if it's a completely deployed situation where individual employees are in home offices with single machines?
Yeah, great question. There's a number of tools which are available to help with standalone kind of home users. First off, the operating systems themselves often have a basic level of power management built into them, and that's always a good starting point, but there are limitations with the power management capabilities in the operating systems themselves. For example, one of the biggest challenges we see, Alex, is something called PC insomnia. What that term means is that, well, it suggests that the PC can't go to sleep. Typically, it's caused by applications that are badly behaving, and they actually can override the power settings that you might have defined in the operating system level and actually keep the device on as a result.
Well, so, if I may jump in again, Ashley, that brings out an even larger macro problem in the industry, because what happens when we start dealing with system-level protocols that would then immediately start negotiating in the case of, say, a smart grid or a smart home, and I've got one set of protocols on that are being flashed to my smart meter from the appliance manufacturers and the maybe the current safety standards of my municipality, and then I've got other command structures coming in through the power line or through the external control systems, and then I have my personal devices which have their own protocols. That exposes an issue of just hierarchy and hierarchy determinism going forward in all of these very complicated cloud-based networks.
Absolutely, it does, yes. And you're highlighting one of the real complexities in this space, and that's really, I think, Alex, a complete lack of standards. If you look at the different vendors in the space, they're all trying to push their own tools, technologies, and standards. And our approach at Verismic has been to be agnostic, right? We want to support all the major manufacturers, all the major operating systems, so that we can provide the best support possible. But certainly at a home level, that is a serious challenge.
It very much so. Now, let's say I'm a facility manager or a line engineer, and I want to implement your technology. What are the steps I have to go through? Is it what are the requirements needed for the system?
That's a great question. It's something that you might think is relatively simple to do, and we at Verismic really focus on simplicity as being the core. Our technology allows organizations to go to a web browser, actually sign up for the Verismic power management service, and then download a small client, which gets installed onto each workstation. And that's where IT would typically need to become involved, because IT can actually help with the automatic deployment of that small client on all the different makes and models of PCs and operating systems that you have in your environment. Once the agent's actually installed, then the technology will actually monitor the device and start to learn about the utilization of the device by the user. Now, a lot of technologies in the space use this kind of generic, kind of one-size-fits-all type model where they might define a power policy that will automatically shut down all the devices at 6 p.m. at night. And you might wake them up again at 8 a.m. in the morning. Well, that's fine in some environments, but it's pretty inefficient in a lot. I mean, if you think about the average company, does everyone arrive exactly at the same time? What happens if someone's sick? What happens if someone goes to a meeting every Wednesday morning and doesn't arrive at their desk until 10 a.m.? So they don't need their computer turned on at 8, consuming all that power for 2 hours when there's no one actually sitting at the desk. So what we've done is we've built almost what we would call artificial intelligence into the product to simplify it so that based on the actual utilization of the endpoint, we can automatically generate policies for specific devices based on the usage. So back to your original question of how you deploy this type of technology, this type of project to be successful, simplicity is key. IT actually is frequently one of the biggest challenges when it comes to implementing this type of technology because IT has to or be involved in the actual rollout of the client, yet IT is often not one of the main benefactors because it's rare that IT is actually paying the power bill for these devices. Although one of the interesting trends we've seen in the marketplace, and this is really just starting, but we are starting to see in some very progressive organizations that IT is actually getting charged a fee for power consumption. I think if we see that expand, there's going to be a much greater interest from IT in these types of technologies, which obviously benefit the bottom line of the company as well as the environment.
Well, you know, and that's you bring up a very good point there, Ashley, because some companies have dabbled with that, treating internal departments as clients in the past. And when it comes to Power, frankly, that's one of the most logical areas outside of, say, food preparation that I could really think of as being a true fungible asset that gets distributed through the company and can be allocated like that.
Oh, absolutely, Alex, yes. And IT charges for their services pretty frequently, right? That's a pretty common concept nowadays.
Internally, where, exactly.
So why not do the reverse? Why should facilities charge for Power?
Well, and you know
and
what
at
else?
The end of the day, all of this. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No, please, go ahead. You were about to say all of this.
No, I think all of this just benefits the bottom line of the business, right? It makes the business more efficient and improves profitability. And that, at the end of the day, is what Power Management is about.
Exactly. And if I was just about to say is if they really started billing people on Power, then Power engineers would get a lot more clout in the industry. We could take over again.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, I mean, everybody, Power engineers can, you know, everybody thinks, oh, just Power guy. But if he's rolling around in like a third of the company's operating budget, then everybody starts paying attention.
And the cost of Power is going up, right? It's not going to be coming down anytime soon. It becomes a more and more important part of the bottom line for businesses. And I think it's important that we can help expose that expense and then reduce it, right?
So, right. Now, speaking of, if I may interject again then, Ashley, you're probably just about to lead into it, but I figured I'll remind you about that point, is the reporting side of it, the oversight and reporting side of it. What kind of tools do you provide there?
Well, typically when a customer implements this type of technology, including ours, what they'll do is once that client's deployed is they'll initiate a baselining period. And we normally recommend a minimum of about 30 days. And during that period, all our technology would do is just monitor what is going on today in the environment. So you have that beginning view of your current power utilization.
Right.
Once you've completed that baseline, you would then turn on the power savings technology. So with some of our competitors, you might deploy that one-size-fits-all, kind of wake everyone up at 9 a.m. Or with our type of technology, you would turn on some of the dynamic capabilities we have. So we would have taken the 30 days to learn about the environment, and we can create those customized power policies based on actual user utilization. And then you would be able to produce reports comparing the baseline prior to the policies being implemented and the current environment, and then actually see the savings that are generated by this type of tool.
Very nice, very nice. So, Ashley, do you have any other thoughts or final comments about either the space or your technology?
A couple more thoughts. One of the very common common objections that we hear from people who are looking at this type of technology is that tablets are starting to be widely deployed within their organization. And that's true. I'm seeing a lot more tablets nowadays in organizations. But I would comment that I rarely see tablets deployed as a primary computing device. They're not replacing that desktop or that laptop. They're typically augmenting it today. Although I think over the future years it is going to change, but today that's definitely not the case.
In the case of the tablet though, you still have all of the tethering and anchoring and charging hardware at the workstation point if it is a company machine, because the average user may be able to toss a charger in a box, but if you're actually working on it, that means you're going to probably have to have a secondary keyboard somewhere or a secondary monitor and at least charging capability for that tablet when you return to the office.
Absolutely. In many ways, you're subsidizing that user's home use if they take it home with them, because it's frequently tethered or plugged in when they're at the office, when they're sitting at their desk, and untethered when they go home and sitting on the couch watching TV.
So exactly. The
company's subsidizing the power cost for that device.
So then it would also then help the client. It would also help then the employee's home power curve, because your software is going to be on that machine even at the house.
Yeah, and actually it's one of the things that we did at Verismic is we actually with our corporate product, we actually provide a free matching home use license for employees, so that when a device goes home with an employee, or if they just have a personal computer at home, there's they can actually install a standalone home use client on their computer at home for free as just a benefit of their business using our technology.
Well, that's very nice. That's very nice. So you had said a couple of thoughts. Do you have one more for us, or do you want to leave us with definitely tell us how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, just kind of final thought I would say would be that the world of PC power management, I think, is expanding. We have been focusing on integration with building systems, for example. There's a now much more intelligent building control systems and building access systems, and that opens up a lot of opportunity for vendors in the space to really innovate. A good example there is that we developed an API in our technology to integrate with building access control systems. So an API is a programming interface. As an employee arrives in a building in the morning and perhaps keys into the building, the building access control system can actually send a signal to our technology to go turn the care employee's computer on. So by the time they arrive at their desk, it's on and ready to go. It's another example of how we can customize the power policies based on actual usage rather than having a generic one-size-fits-all type policy.
Very nice, Ashley. And so how do people get in touch with you to get your technology into their systems?
Well, it's very simple to do. We can be contacted via our website, which is verismic.com. That's verismic.com. And actually, for listeners of this podcast, we're going to provide a 100-user free trial of our software, which can be deployed from the cloud, so there's no need to deploy any infrastructure as well.
Wow, there you go. Nice little Easter egg for the people who take the time to listen to this podcast.
Definitely.
So thank you very much, Ashley. I really appreciate you taking the time. And we'll bring you back in the future to talk again about the systems, because obviously it's a moving target.
Thanks for your time, Alex.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paul for Pault on Power. Have a great day.